Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty. This is wide receiver snap reactions for week five. And some notable stuff here. So I'm going to run down some team stuff just because there's some moving pieces. I know you guys like when I sort of blend it with, hey, positional stuff versus team by team stuff. I do think you got to go team by team a little bit. As the season goes along, you have injuries, you have changing things. So let's just sort of look at these and we'll do some contextual stuff as well. To me, it's pretty clear in terms of Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins is basically running a ton of their routes, right? 98% route run. AJ Green, 88% route run. 71% for Christian Kirk. 45% for Rondale Moore. Hopkins, wide receiver, 15. Green, 40. Kirk, 32. And Moore, 35 on the season. So you have four top 40 wide receivers out of the Arizona wide receiver core so far. I would expect that potentially come down in coming weeks, and that just seems like a lot. But I'll say this. I think the thing you need to know about Christian Kirk versus Rondale Moore, so two data points here in terms of just their routes run. So one for Kirk, one for Moore. 74% in week three for Kirk, 88% in week four, 51% in week five. He's run 50 routes on 71% of their dropbacks so far this season. When you come forward to Rondale Moore, week three, 36%, week four, 39%, week five, 57%. So you say, okay, well, is that a significant jump? I'm not sure. There's reasons to think that because of some of the stuff with Chase Edmonds, he was hurt, held out, his usage changed a little bit in week five, that it could have been Rondale Moore. It could have also been a Rondale Moore scheme game. I mean, he was targeted on 30% of his routes run, which is a really, really high number. So when you sort of look at that, that screams schemed usage. So that's one thing I think you can look there. The other thing, too, is like in a game like this, it was AJ Green only targeted on 6% of his routes run. So really a low number there in terms of that. It really shifted from up on Rondale Moore quite a bit this past week. And we'll see here, too, that I think there's room for everyone to eat. Like, everyone can get something at this target buffet because you have Max Williams injured. What'll be interesting, they ran a lot of four wide receivers, one back. In Cliff Kingsbury's initial iteration, one of the things that you've seen in terms of their growth as an offense in the past couple of years has been the movement up in terms of the tight end usage involvement in the offense. I wouldn't be entirely I wouldn't entirely write off the idea that Demetrius Harris isn't going to run routes. When you combined Max Williams and Demetrius Harris in terms of just one player from week five, so 43% of routes run for Max Williams, 40% for Demetrius Harris. When you add that up, 83%, that puts him in sort of the wide receiver three of this offense in terms of just the routes run. Like, if you were to rank the targets or rank the routes run by sort of by persons, right, them together is basically number three. So we'll see there. That's going to be the big data point. Like, if you told me one data point from week six that we wanted to know here, it would be Demetrius Harris and his routes, right? That would be it, because I think it's going to dictate a lot about what their offensive scheme looks like going forward. All right, some of these aren't going to take as much time. Atlanta needs Calvin Ridley back. Without him, their offense looks a lot different. It's much more tight end centric. He's wide receiver 37 on the season, but he has missed a game. All this stuff looks pretty good in terms of healthy targets. I mean, air yards of 34%, 22% of their targets so far, and, you know, he's missed a game in there. So he is pretty healthy in terms of all that. We hope that his personal reasons all get settled and everything worked out there. Olamide Zaccheaus has seen an uptick in the routes that he's run, 73% in week three, 73% in week three, up to 84% in week four, 88% in week five. Again, it hasn't corresponded with a ton more targets. It's actually, he's down in target percentage, but he is getting the work. Tajay Sharpe basically doubled as well, 34, 33, 78% with Ridley out. So, and he got 12% of their targets this past week. Again, I'm not super in love with anyone there. I think it's a Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson, Mike Davis, Calvin Ridley offense. That's how it's going to operate. Again, I would just say with Cordarrelle Patterson, he's kind of got to be in lineups. Like, it's really tough to not have him in lineups just because playing 40% of snaps, you know, 33% of their rush opportunities to date. He's run 35% of their of routes, and he's run 14% of their targets. Like, it's a lot there. So it's just a really diverse and robust thing, and it's not even game script dependent. Right, you got all angles, and he has one of his better games in a game where they're blowing out the Jets. So just keep that in mind. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. All right, Buffalo, it's coming for Stephon Diggs. 27% of their targets, 24% of his routes run he's been targeted on, 36% have been on play action. Like, it is coming, right? And we need to hit a couple of deep balls. Right, we need to hit a couple home runs with him. And I think it'll come, and it can come in heavy doses. You got to remember too, like, their scoring is just outrageous in terms of how they've done so far, and that has caused some game script stuff. We've seen that really with Cole Beasley. He's only run 77% of their routes. That is substantially the wide receiver three. Again, he was a wide receiver two in terms of usage. He was a wide receiver three in terms of alignment last year, but really a wide receiver two in terms of usage. He is clearly behind Emmanuel Sanders at this point. So it's Diggs at 88% of the routes, Sanders at 88% of the routes, and Cole Beasley at 77% of the routes. That's not a knock on Cole Beasley per se, but it's they're not running as much 11 personnel because they're sort of in positive game script and aren't in those formations, those sort of pass throwing formations as much. It's just putting Sanders on the field more. So again, if I was going to start, I have both of them just because I wasn't sure it was going to happen. So at a really cheap discount in a league, I took both of them, and I've been playing them. I was like, I'll just capture one a week until I figure it out. I think the clear answer at this point is Sanders over Beasley at this point. And I feel, you know, unless something really changes, it's going to be tough, I guess, at this point too, to really predict when that game script could change because it hasn't. Right, it just hasn't really, it hasn't done that in the sense of, like, even at Kansas City, right? That didn't really happen, so it's tough really to predict that. Carolina and with Carolina again, I think the big thing is how is this offense going to be treated with Christian McCaffrey versus with not Christian McCaffrey, right? That's going to matter. So the numbers, you're going to see some people up in terms of, like, targets per route run for a guy like DJ Moore, for example. Robbie Anderson, 89% of the routes run so far, target percentages of 29 and 21% over the past 2 weeks. I think it's coming. I think it's coming, and I don't, you know, I wouldn't be, I wouldn't write him off yet, just because I think as this offense has to operate, you are going to see him have to get more involved just because, you know, it's the attrition. It's the same way that Robert Woods was not going to be not involved in the offense. Like, he's just going to, it's going to happen. It just hasn't yet. When you look at him, for example, he's run almost the same amount of routes as DJ Moore, and he's got 0.99 yards per route run, right? So I think he's better than that, right? And so maybe he's not going to surpass DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore's a better player, but I don't think that number is indicative of where he's going to be. He's 0 for 6 on contested catch rate. That's that tends to fluctuate quite a bit. It's only one drop, so I'm not super worried about him ultimately in terms of, I think it'll come around. Again, I'm probably looking for other things to start right now. That would be the thing that I would, I would want. I don't feel good with him outside of, like, a wide receiver four type situation right now, but I do think it's going to come. I wouldn't panic bail for, like, a third. That wouldn't be what I would do at this point. Outside of those guys, I mean, DJ Moore's a target. I mean, I'm looking at him in trades, for example. It's going to be tough, I think, to really probably get him, just because even building teams aren't going to be in the business of selling him all that much. And Terrace Marshall, again, he's at 12% of their target share so far and 9% air yard. So it's kind of a de-minimized situation there for him. All right, Chicago Bears, and we were discussing this in the group chat. It's just really tough for like Allen Robinson. Again, when you look at some of the numbers, though, like he's running 89% of the routes on the season, 25% of their targets. Darnell Mooney's running 26% of their targets and 93% of the routes, which is interesting. They just don't have a ton of answers outside those guys. So I think probably both in the wide receiver three range right now. You just, it's like, man, what a fall. Like that's just, I don't know. It's just tough to imagine that. Wide receiver 61 for Allen Robinson so far, 53 for Darnell Mooney. So we'll have to watch and see. I am buying. Like he's one that, this is a classic example, and I released the Analytics of Dynasty rebuilding thing. I'm talk about, you know, I'm doing some, I like all my stuff to be topical, but then I'm doing some like, you know, specifics in terms of videos and stuff like that, and just trying a new form. And one of the things I'll say about it is it's really, as I sort of went through the process of building, I don't think it's as much, hey, let's figure out a way to, you know, get young players. I think it's, hey, let's figure out a way to get good players that aren't at a high cost. And if that's their young, or if that is their, for some reason, depressed, right? Your goal should be acquiring good players. I can eat the pain if I'm contending here on Allen Robinson, because he's going to be a free agent and we can sort of see, right? He could find himself in, you know, 6 months being a lot like Allen Robinson, for example, or Devontae Adams, for example, right? He could find himself a lot like that, depending on where he lands and where Adams lands and that sort of thing. So I am not writing him off. Again, it's going to be tough to get him in lineups ultimately. And they don't run. They have not really done a ton of passing volume stuff, right? They rank 30th in terms of pass rate. You know, it's their pass rate in close games is 32nd, right? Like they're really low in terms of pass friendliness, and what PFF calls a poor pass volume environment. So, thanks to Dwayne McFarland for putting that out. I use a lot of his stuff in terms of, you know, just contextualizing some of the numbers. It's pretty helpful. All right, Cincinnati, and you know, with Cincinnati again, they don't. It's a very low volume offense, so that's a problem in terms of, you know, they don't run a lot of plays, they don't run a lot of passing attempts. It's just in terms of aggregate volume, it's problematic. We did talk about running backs in the running back show, so go ahead and check that out. Jamar Chase, 24% of targets, 95% of routes run. He is notably, and I saw this, like, hey, people were talking about his ADOT, it's at 17.8. It's good. One of the things I will note, he's a very low separator. He's at 1.8. yards of separation per target. That was a critique of his coming in. So that's the big thing. Again, what does the critique of these guys sort of match with what happens in the NFL? That's the thing that I always think about. Like, hey, what are we watching for? And like, what questions do they answer? Well, his is he still hasn't separated. He's performing fine without the separation. But again, that is still a you know, that is a question I think you ultimately have about him, is how good is he going to separate? Then I think the ancillary question is, who cares, right? Like, it's the scene in, I think it's in Major League, you know, where they're sitting there and they're arguing, like, you know, the arc is too high and it's too high. Like, he hit it too high. And the other guy looks at him and he's like, who gives a shit? It's gone. Like, it's kind of like that with Jamar Chase. Like, I wouldn't necessarily look a gift horse in the mouth, but just know that that's there. That is a stat. And you know, I think he's a, this isn't meant to be an insult to anyone in the following sentence, but Kenny Galladay's work was a lot of that, like, hey, I'm going to play a lot of like tight contested sort of down the field range. And I always hated that as a wide receiver one, just because he couldn't get open. Like, he couldn't get an easy bucket. Like, he just couldn't, like, everything was like, you have to pound it into the paint. And you're posting up, and you know it's people are doubling you, right? It's like it's a really really hard, and you have no teammates that can shoot threes, right? So everyone's just collapsing the paint on you, and Galladay's like the post touch guy. Like, that's really really hard to sort of continuously run an offense through. I think with Cincinnati, he's got other options. He's got guys that can get buckets in easier and more diverse ways. So that's not necessarily something I'm worried about for Burrow, but that is something that we see that is, I think, problematic, and it bogs down an offense. You know, so we'll see there. ultimately, but Chase is on a really good, he's at wide receiver 7, and I'm not going to be nitpicking, you know, we're not picking nits about his separation at this particular point. If you can pump out 24% target share, I don't really care sort of what you're doing. I'm just, that's fine. I just close my eyes and check out the box score and see how it ends up. All right. T. Higgins, he missed a couple games there. 56% of their routes run. He's at wide receiver 59. He is 16% target share. So I'd be interested to see sort of once he's back how that sort of moves. And I believe that's adjusted for the fact that he missed games as well. Tyler Boyd, 24% market share. He's one, you know, wide receiver 34. I think he could sort of operate there. And it's interesting. Like it's very much like we see these offenses that it's like short, medium, and long. It's short for Tyler Boyd at 5.7 ADAP. Again, 24% target share. I don't really care, right? Like, if you just tell me the number, I can take it or leave it. It's fine with Boyd at that number. Higgins is at 8.9. Again, it's a lower target share, so we'll see there. And then it's 17.8 ADOT for Jamar Chase with a 24% market share of targets. So, again, you look at that and you're like, all right, like I'll take that 24% market share for Tyler Boyd. But I think it's interesting when you see short, medium, long. Like you sort of see that. Again, that sort of bails you out of situations like where it's just tough to get a ball to Jamar Chase because you have to throw it into coverage. Boyd's the antidote to that, if you will. And then our boy CJ Uzama, down game this week. Notably, his week 4 performance, again, I'm not doing tight ends on the show, but his week 4 performance, 22% target share. And that was actually up from 6. Those are bookended by 6% on both weeks. So, it was 19% target share, and it was bookended by 6% on either week. So that just sort of tells you what you need to know about sort of those developmental tight end guys, or sort of off-the-radar tight end guys, I guess. Looking at Cleveland, and man, like, you just sort of need some – you need some better stuff from Odell Beckham Jr. You're sort of hoping for that. Down to 10% target share after 32, 24, and 10% the past 3 weeks. Way down in terms of ADOT. So we'll see. Again, I sort of trust implicitly what the Chargers are doing. So that could be part of it in terms of them taking him away. So we'll watch there and see how that ultimately works. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 20% target share here this past week. That's actually pretty impressive. We'll see, like he was a big – I covered – Cleveland for a couple of weeks for Football Guys during the preseason. We do those like write-ups or whatnot, and he was one that consistently drawing praise. I sort of, that goes out, you know, just in one ear directly out the other, and I don't pay much attention to it. But for like when I see stuff coming, you know, I obviously have to write it, but when we see stuff sort of percolate back up and, you know, we see a player maybe not perform to it and then they start performing to what the narrative was, that stuff just always piques my interest because you sort of know that that's there from like a prior perspective about how the media and how the coaches might feel about a player. So that's absolutely one that he has my interest piqued. So that's Donovan Peoples-Jones. Outside of that, again, we're absolutely waiting for Jarvis Landry to come back, you know, and hopeful that he comes back and is healthy ultimately here as we go forward, because I do think there's some room to operate. Donovan Peoples-Jones has led them in routes run so far on the season, significantly ahead of Higgins too. So Higgins has outproduced him. But if you sort of look and Higgins has actually done it down the field as well. But if you sort of look at the routes, it's actually been Boyd that's run more routes. So, just keep those things in mind there with Landry still out. If you need a guy, I think either one of them is probably going to play enough. Again, it's 76% of routes for Donovan Peoples-Jones this past week. It's 63% for Higgins. I still do think, by the way, that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to break out, just because I think it's going to happen. But we'll see. It might be hopeful and overly optimistic, but I am hopeful. For sure. Okay, let's turn now to Dallas. And it's basically Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb at 89% of the offense. You have 56% of the routes run for Wilson. they're 31% air yards, both of those guys, 21% targets for Cooper, 23% targets for CeeDee Lamb. Like, they're the essentially the exact same player in terms of their usage. Oh, by the way, wide receiver 14 for Amari Cooper, wide receiver 22 for CeeDee Lamb. So you write, when you get guys, and we do this all the time, and I try and I don't want to harp, but I, at the same time, I think it's important that we don't make stupid mistakes. There's a lot of ways to make mistakes. There's a lot of ways to do these things. I think, you know, overpaying for a guy, and we write people as a dynasty community off too soon. That was Amari Cooper. Again, we could dance. I'm not dancing on the grave of CeeDee Lamb by any means, but it's a totally a touchdown difference, and CeeDee Lamb has got three more fantasy points through the receiving yards than Amari Cooper does. He's got 30 more yards, but Cooper's got 12 more in terms of touchdowns. That's the difference, right? They're basically, they're essentially the same player at this particular point, with Amari Cooper a little bit less on a per route run basis, but like it's, they're still both really good. I just think when you write off the really good one at a cheaper price than the guy that's sort of developing, that's a cautionary thing. And especially as I'm doing this sort of rebuild project, I just see these things and everyone's like, oh, I could take CeeDee Lamb. I could take CeeDee Lamb and like be set for the future. Like, you know what you could do? You could also take Amari Cooper plus and still be set for the future and be like just fine. And just, right, that's, and you know, instead of having, you know, instead of being, you know, super concerned about what other people think, let's be super competitive, right? Let's be competitive in terms of, in terms of our production. I think that's a big, big deal in our team build. So I will always encourage that. And they are running it pretty heavily too. So I would note that, like, there might just not be a huge ceiling here. 22% rank when they're leading in terms of their pass script, 28% when they're in close games, in terms of their pass rank. They throw out a ton when they're trailing, but you know, just keep it in mind, relative to the position, relative to other teams, when they are either up or close, like they're running it a lot more than, but when they are down, they'll throw it more than you would otherwise expect. So just keep that in mind. Game script, a big deal there with them in terms of trying to capture some ceiling or play some DFS. All right, Denver, they brought in John Brown, so we can stop the presses and talk about John Brown. We probably won't do that, but notably Kendall Hinton. So I just shout out to Kendall Hinton. And I have more respect for Kendall Hinton as the days go by. He starts in this scenario that's just an absolute, like, he got fed to the wolves and, like, he absolutely covered up for his teammates screwing up, and I give him a ton of credit for that. So just worth noting that, you know, his quarterbacks basically did what they weren't supposed to do, and he paid the consequences for it. But I'm always glad to see him get some involvement and get some, publicity in a non-notoriety type of way. So Courtland Sutton, 30% target share, pretty healthy there in terms of his workload. I wonder how that's going to look when Judy comes back. And obviously we have no KJ Hamler here going forward, but at this point we have Sutton at 27 and Tim Patrick actually at 29. So Tim Patrick is one of those guys that I don't know, he's probably not available. But if he is in shallow leagues, like that all that dude does is just outproduce what anyone ever expects of him. So he's pretty good. We'll watch for Judy coming back here in future weeks. Detroit's pretty much a wasteland. 14% target share for Amon-Ra St. Brown the past couple weeks, on the season. In the past couple weeks, 22 and 26%. He's up to 70 in the 70s of routes run. We'll see there. I'm not particularly optimistic. I'm liking Hockenson here going forward. I think he has some good splits here ultimately. Some negative pass script stuff for the Packers. So the only time that they are really ahead of script in terms of throwing the ball is when they're sort of in close games. Otherwise, you know, if they're down or up, they're running more than the market of other teams. It does. Devontae Adams, an absolute freak, 39% target share, which is just outrageous. I got away with an Alan Lazard start this past week with the hope of like, hey, you know, listen, like this could be a 15% target share game. Like this could be what happens. And you know what? It wasn't that. It absolutely was not that just because he's just such a gravitational force in terms of the position. So Lazard gets two targets and goes 2 for 6 while Adams goes 16 targets, 11 receptions, and 206. Like, talk about a guy that can just do pretty much everything that you could want. A 5.57 yards per route run. So that should go up in a Hall of Fame someplace. Marquez Valdes-Scantling also out. I think if there's going to be like a Marquez Valdes-Scantling out type situation, I think Alan Lazard probably the beneficiary, because I would guess Randall Cobb's probably owned most of the time, but that's kind of where we're at again. I would take shots on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think he's got the 1 for 76 and a score type potential in his profile. All right, Brandon Cooks is 33% target share on the season. Like, he's wide receiver 18. Like, again, just check me if you've heard wide receiver 2 for Brandon Cooks. Like, no one cares. Like, he's a wide receiver 5 in terms of cost. He's a wide receiver 2 in terms of production. Like, that's just easy buckets. Chris Moore, 19% target share this past week. I don't think there's anything super there with him, but I maybe, you know, if it's in a deeper situation, you could potentially sort of add him. I wouldn't spend much on him, but if you sort of have a roster spot, take a look-see. He was a guy that I liked a little bit coming out of college. He goes 5 for 109 and a touch. It's a really high yards per route run. And again, only 22 routes. So I think that there's some potential there. Again, he hasn't really done anything up until this point. He's worth a look-see and a watch. We'll see there in terms of, like, there's some additional number stuff that suggests that for Moore, he's not particularly attractive. But again, if he's going to be out there running routes, he's interesting if you are rostering like 35, 40 players. All right, Jacksonville, they're just a dumpster fire, so they're just going to have to grind on this season. Marvin Jones, 92% of his routes run, 21% target share, so that's decent. Chenault, 19% target share, and then after that, Dan Arnold, 26% in terms of his tight end, really the first full week getting there. So we'll see. This season's been a grind for them in terms of their production, and we'll just see sort of what they have to offer here. As the season progresses. All right. And I don't really have any like particularly big takeaways there from any of their skill guys. Like, it's just I've kind of been down on Chenault, and that's kind of where it is. So I'm not dropping him or anything like that, but you can, if you can get out for a second, like, you can totally do that. I would probably do that, honestly, just because I don't have a ton of faith in this, and their attention appears to be other places. All right, Kansas City, and you've got Tyreek Hill, 87% of route share, like 30% target rate. Yeah, you love it. 44% air yards, like, give me that. Like, give it to me all. Like, yes, yes. DeMarcus Robinson, 4%. Target share, nope. McCole Hardman, 25 this past week. That's actually pretty nice. But again, pinch yourself if you've heard that before. Like, hey, McCole Hardman, like, potential breakout. Because 12 for 9 catches, 76 yards. That's really nice. But again, color me dubious at best. Josh Gordon runs 7% of the routes. He did pick up an OPI. I don't know on some of those plays, like, obviously he's intending to interfere. Like, that's no kidding. But, like, he just runs directly straight and they call a pass interference on him. It's like, I don't know what you want him to do. I'm stashing him in a spot just because, like, I'm a glutton for punishment. But I think it's an interesting one in terms of, like, hey, he could add something as an ancillary guy. Just watch for Tyreek Hill. It looks like it was injured in that game. I don't think it's anything super concerning. At least they weren't sort of making that push for him. But I will say, I'm recording this on Tuesday, so I don't have access to practice reports. By the time you're hearing this, whether that's Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. I'm actually recording a little bit earlier in the day than I usually record this podcast. So you should be able to potentially get a look-see and have an idea. If you hear this, you know, at some point on Tuesday night or into Wednesday, you know, take a look and see what the practice reports are Wednesday and Thursday. That'll give you a good idea. I don't suspect it's anything for Tyreek Hill concerning wise. The Raiders, obviously we got the John Gruden stuff. We'll see sort of what the implications are for that. 72% of routes for Ruggs on the season, 83 and 87% the past couple weeks. So really seeing an uptick in terms of that. Brian Edwards, 88% and 80% the past 2 weeks. He's run 79% of the routes. So 14% target share for Ruggs, 11% for Edwards. And they're both targeted pretty heavily down the field. We get 20% target share for Hunter Renfro. And I do think a Waller breakout is potentially still coming, even though he's down a little bit in terms of some of the stuff I talk about in the tight end show, which I've actually already recorded, but it'll be released at about the same time. So looking next to the Chargers, really dominant performance again from Mike Williams. He's wide receiver 3 on the season. You got 2 wide receiver 2 finishes the past 3 weeks. Just crazy. 26% target share for Keenan Allen. He's at wide receiver 16 on the season. Again, 25% target share for Mike Williams. And he is at wide receiver 3 on the season. Pay that man his money. Give him a bag. Right? That's an interesting one. I do also hit on the fact that I think Parham's, you know, when you listen to the tight end one, I think Parham's a little bit overblown in terms of his breakout stuff. Jalen Guyton, the clear third guy, but he's a very distant, very, very distant third guy at present. Okay, the Rams, it's about relatively average passing volume. So that's, I think, interesting in terms of when you look at it. I'm down a little bit in terms of volume off of what you would have expected. You know, we were pitched that, hey, it's going to be a high volume thing. McVay is one of these guys that just, I think it's a little bit of, I'm not going to say he's all hype, but I think it's interesting. Like, he's like kind of talks a big game in terms of some of the stuff that he wants to do, and then he ultimately doesn't do it. Kupp, wide receiver 1. Woods, wide receiver 21, Van Jefferson, wide receiver 45. And honestly, like, if you had asked people, like, in his rookie class, like, hey, does, like, Van Jefferson, like, best career finish, like, over under 45 and a half, I think the majority would have taken the bad side of that. So I'm good on him, happy that he's producing. Wide receiver 72 for DeSean Jackson. He's nothing more than really an answer guy. If you're going to take a, and this is going to sound outrageous, but if you're going to take a flyer on a guy running, you know, some deep shots here for the Rams, take it on Van Jefferson instead of on DeSean Jackson. Again, I don't think Van Jefferson's probably rostered, I would imagine, in most of the leagues where that's a consideration. But that's just something like 11% target share to 9% for DeSean Jackson. You know, I do think if Van Jefferson's somehow out there, he's probably not in most of the leagues that we're playing in, but if he is, he warrants a deeper thing. Again, and I would say one other thing about this. It's not impossible to believe that they'd cut Robert Woods in the offseason. Like, they do crazy stuff in terms of, like, hey, this isn't working, we'll just move on. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think Van Jefferson sort of has that as an out. Again, at very minimal cost, I think that's an interesting out for sure. Miami, oh God, it's not great. It's just not really that good is ultimately where we're at. Miles Gaskin had a big game. Jalen Waddle, 20% target share. Like, that's actually interesting, but 11% air yards. Cue it up if you had him having half of the air yards that he does target share. Like, that wasn't what was pitched of him coming out of college at all. Devontae Parker missed last week with an injury, so we'll see there. Preston Williams, 14% target share, and a relatively nice ADOT with Devontae Parker out. Again, I don't really care a whole heck of a lot, for him or anything in terms of fantasy at this point. He goes 3 for 60, but again, it's just, it's, he's so far off the rail in a bad offense. Like, it just feels like a wasted roster spot at this point. All right, Minnesota. So I think the big takeaways are Justin Jefferson's a really good player, 26% target share, wide receiver 8 on the season. Like, yes, perfect. Like, you got this, man. Like, this is exactly what we're signing up for. You know, shooting at a big, huge, fat target with him. It's absolutely right on. And he goes 7 for 124 this past week. And, you know, some really good route numbers. He's only got 3 touchdowns on the season, right? 33 receptions, 462 in terms of yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, absolutely, totally sustainable across his profile here going forward. Really, really like where he is at. Adam Thielen, again, does he ever regress? Like, that's going to be the funny thing about him. It's like, hey, is he ever going to regress? Like, 4 touchdowns on 33 targets. Like, it's just, you know, he's got another touchdown. Like, it's week 10 and he's got 8 touchdowns already. Like, that's just who he is. He's impressive. We actually added him in a Chad and I actually added him in a trade this week. So, interesting there in terms of what we can potentially get for him is basically just a contributing guy. All right, the Patriots, they're pretty pass happy in terms of they just don't run the ball that well. Again, it's not necessarily the most lucrative passing opportunity. I think Jacoby Myers is really interesting at a 25% market share. He just doesn't really score touchdowns, which is fascinating. 25% market share, 29% air yards. Again, so it's just a really interesting perspective there for him. 14% for Aguilar in terms of market share targets, 12% for Kendrick Bourne. I wonder, you know, when you look at, you know, when you really look at Jacoby Myers, like, I don't know what he is in his best case, but we haven't quite seen it yet in terms of he's 31 receptions, 302 yards, so just short of 10 yards per reception. But again, the yards per route run is really nice at 1.52. Like, you'll totally take that. Just no touchdowns, right? Like, it's a really interesting counterintuitive profile. Again, I'm not huge into taking developmental guys at the position, but he's wide receiver 30 without a score, which that kind of tells you something in terms of what his usage is. So he's on the Michael Pittman sort of track of the position where he's just a little bit underproducing and undervalued right now. All right, turning next to the Saints, and they're off this week. Yeah, it's a for Jameis. It's a lot. Again, it's still a lot of variance, a lot of upside, a lot of him just capturing sort of some low volume, like, high upside usage. So a lot of variance and stuff that I'm not totally believing. You know, if he can potentially net something on the market, you know, he's quarterback 15 right now. He's just not netting anywhere near that, which is kind of frustrating and bothersome. And it feels like you should get paid out a little bit more for what he's done. But again, I think people are kind of seeing that this is a little bit smoke and mirrors. Wide receiver 41 for Marquez Callaway. Again, he caught a prayer this past week, so keep that in mind. You get Deontay Harris, 48. You know, I don't think there's anything else really particularly useful. We're on Michael Thomas watch. Kadarius Toney with the big breakout in week 5. 35% of their targets. He was targeted on 54% of his routes run, which is just an outrageous number. 34% air yards. And he did that without Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton in the lineup. It's him and Kenny Galladay, basically. Galladay himself a little bit banged up. Evan Ingram getting a fair amount of work as well. I think adding Tony is obviously in redraft forms is what you're going to do. And, you know, if I can get a future first for him, yes. Hey, again, I'm just taking his base rate and just cashing it in. I would absolutely do that. I think, you know, if you can get the one thing I would say, like, as a general sort of strategic, philosophical takeaway, right, in terms of assets, right, your positive EV in terms of hit rate if you never take a wide receiver in the first round of a rookie draft. If you sort of know that and you sort of understand base rates, like, hey, as they go along, they're less likely to hit, right? The more time that goes on with the player not hitting, the less likely they are to hit. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory and intuitive when you think about it. Why would you pay it first for a guy that hasn't hit? Right, like, that's a clear pivot, right? It's your guy has not hit yet or is not on track to do so. Like, you take the pick, you take the player, you turn it into a pick, and you move on. Right, that is a positive EV from a hit rate perspective. So that is something I think you should do quite a bit. Zach Wilson, again, his struggles continue. Corey Davis, 23% target share, 34% air yards. He's ranking at 28th in terms of position. Again, I'm fascinated to see like a wide receiver two finisher him because it's just really, really unlikely historically. All right, Philly. Oh, by the way, Elijah Moore still not really that used. It's Jameson Crowder in the position there for the Jets. Devonta Smith, 94% of the routes run so far in the season for Philly. Right, so he's run. The more precise way to say that is he's run routes on 94% of their dropbacks so far. He has seen 23% of their targets and 42% of their air yards. That's notable. 15% of targets for Jalen Reagor, 16% of their air yards. So he's basically doing the volume that he gets in terms of that production. Wide receiver 31 for Devonta Smith, 64 for Reagor. So far, again, they're a pretty heavy volume passing team. And you just kind of like, hey, like if we could maybe cash in a couple touchdowns here, that'd be kind of nice. You have one on the season for both Smith and Reagor. So we'll see there. Reagor, 0.84 yards per route run. That's not a great sign. 1.56 for Devonta Smith. It's actually really robust for a rookie. So good to see there. He's on a positive track. All right. The Pittsburgh Steelers, it looks like it's going to be without Juju Smith-Schuster. I think, if you can get, the discussion was, can you get a second for him? I hate doing that deal because it makes zero sense to do that in terms of like, hey, do you want to sort of trade this guy for pick you can't use? I kind of don't like doing that because it's, again, that's like the ultimate on a sell low too, because you're not really, and you're not opening up a roster spot. You're basically doing nothing advantageous to you other than taking a buy low on a guy. So for me, I wouldn't probably do that type of deal. But if I could get a second type valuation out of him, that's a little bit more interesting. For example, like one that I'm not sure that you need to do this straight up, and I'll be interested because I'll probably throw him in the, having a guest on for the trade show. He'll probably be a person that I talk about. I wonder if you think about like him versus Leonard Fournette and you think about like, all right, like take that to its logical end about what you're trying to do. Like, all right, if Juju hits the market here, he's probably going to be another 1 year guy. He's coming off a significant shoulder injury. Like he hasn't been a big time difference maker in a while. Meanwhile, you've got Leonard Fournette locked into a pretty high value role in a pretty good offense. Like this could be a potential league winner situation. And again, then you're sort of competing at a one-for-one sort of target, 1 year deal type of thing for both guys. And again, you would sort of peg Juju to be the longer term difference maker, but if you can get a win banked for Leonard Fournette right now, like that would be something that I think is really interesting to do. So I think that would sort of more be the construct of a deal that I would look to do, something like that. And then you can sort of bury that in two for twos, right? You can sort of do that. But that would sort of be how I would treat Juju right now. If I'm contending, that would be the pivot that I would make to someone that can give you production now rather than just cash in the pick. It just doesn't seem like it doesn't make any sense to do that. It's kind of like selling Cam Akers for a future pick like right after his injury happened. Like there's no reason to have to do that because like every recommendation is going to be to sell him. Like you're trying to sell into that makes zero sense. Chase Claypool has a lot of upside, I think, with the fact that Smith-Schuster is out, so this pass game is going to consolidate. But I do think Freiermuth has some opportunity as well there. And Deontay Johnson, we could see some breakout for him. Again, 20% target share for him, 18% for Claypool. Claypool has been the more vertical guy at 12.6 ADOT compared to just short of 9 just short of 10 there at 9.9 for Deontay Johnson. So we'll see how that all fleshes itself out. It's going to open up, I think, more opportunity for Najee Harris as well. All right, San Francisco 49ers. We'll see here with Trey Lance. He's banged up. Garoppolo's banged up. Who knows which one of those things is actually true? So for what that is worth, it's our weekly shenanigans, segment. So we'll see there with how that all unfolds. You're asking the wrong guy to try and get insight there on what Shanahan's doing or what's going to happen there in terms of injuries. We'll just have to see it play out. Doesn't probably matter much for Debo Samuel, 91% route runs, wide receiver 4 on the season, 47, 20, and 2. So 47, his week 3 performance, 2, his week 4 performance, 20, his week 5 performance. Again, nothing really there specific to do big takeaways on at this point in terms of like anything from like Garoppolo to Lance or anything like that. It's tough to really draw an inference there. Ayuk, 76% routes this past week. He's run 71% of the routes on the season, or run routes on 71% of dropbacks on the season, 9% target share. None of that's really making me feel all too good. Him versus Juju conversation, like I think you take Ayuk, but man, like it's like both guys feel kind of dead for this year as it's going and as it were, which is not great. 0.68 yards per route run for Ayuk, 3.2 for Debo Samuel. That's a robust, robust difference. All right, Seattle, we're going to be without Russell Wilson. I did some work on the Geno Smith profile, so go ahead and check out your snap reactions for the quarterback position. And we'll sort of see where that ultimately unfolds. Listen, I think you start your studs. Like, you start DK Metcalf, you start Lockett. Like, I think he's good enough to, you know, maybe if those guys are both wide receiver ones, maybe they're like more wide receiver 1-2 fringe guys here going forward, or closer to wide receiver twos. But, I mean, you don't have better options, so start him. Like, don't get too cute. Tampa, they're throwing the ball a ton. So we like to see that. We like Leonard Fournette's usage as well. In terms of target rates for the offense, you still have Mike Evans leading 21%, 18% for Chris Godwin, 14% for Antonio Brown, and then 32% air yards for Mike Evans, 18% for Godwin, 21% for Antonio Brown. I still think Evans like wide receiver 10. Like again, just like set it, forget it, and just sort of move on. Like we spend so much useless energy during the offseason worrying about things that just are dumb to worry about. 9 targets a game, just sort of a touchdown per game, like almost 80 yards a game. Like stop worrying about Mike Evans. Like go mow your lawn, right? Like go. It's so fascinating that we get stuck on these boom bust things and know he's going to get like stuff taken away. Again, he's just adding to his Canton resume. Tennessee, hopefully here we'll get Julio Jones back. That's going to be a watch situation. Chester Rogers is playing a 63% last week with Julio out. He played 78% the week before. Marcus Johnson, 78%. Again, I don't really like anyone there outside of A.J. Brown in the offense or Julio when he gets back. A.J. Brown's at wide receiver 78 on the season, so I don't know if anyone's buying or selling at that cost. Certainly not at that cost, but if they're selling, like I think he's one they could potentially look for and see, peruse the market for. And again, I think he's probably either contending or a building asset. All right, Washington football team. And Terry McLaurin. So Chad and I made a huge mistake this past week. We started Terry McLaurin over Antonio Gibson, and it cost us a game. We then went out and traded a 2023 first for reinforcements. That wasn't actually what happened, but it's the after, therefore, because of type thing. I'm still a little bit raw about the fact that we would have won. I had Gibson in the lineup and I took him out because we consulted about it. Again, it was Madison revolved around putting Madison in, and we just picked the wrong Washington guy, which felt stupid in hindsight. 4 for 46 for McLaurin. Like that that happens, right? That, like, that's fine. It's okay. Like, it's, you know, if he scored a touchdown, I'd be feeling totally different about it. But that's what the receiver position does to you. You know, so that's, again, like, at a similar start rate, you take the running back over the wide receiver because they have a higher floor. And I just didn't make the pitch hard enough to Chad to get that one done, and that's on me. Curtis Samuel, again, re-aggravated, so that's, he's going to be out. It's Adam Humphries, basically 12% target share, 9% for De'Ami Brown. He missed this past week. Ricky Seals-Jones, again, huge uptake in terms of his usage. Be interested to watch sort of his progress over the end of the season here for sure. All right, well, that'll do it for this wide receiver snap reactions. Until next time, you continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.